And yeah, if you recall, it's good, and if not, it's weiter good. Yeah, the Voshtet and Chumish, let's see, I think it must be a Pasuk in Parshas Boy, but you don't actually need it. But if you want, you can. And that is as follows. Actually, we'll also just, I'll just address some practical halachas as we go through, so why not? Farvosnit is Lomer Zen. Vashtuchada. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Okay, good enough. Yeah, let it be Parshas Boy. It really doesn't make much of a difference. But B'chol Eifin, yeah. Yeah, we have the Pasuk in Parshas Boy. We all know. Popular Pasuk. There are a couple of Pasukim here. One Pasuk where it speaks about the Korban Pesach. In the Korban Pesach, where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the sacrificial lamb, right? The Korban Pesach, the Paschal lamb. That's what they call it, I think. Paschal. Oh, wow. Koach. Paschal, okay. Yeah, so the Korban Pesach, page 315, your Chumash Shmois, Parshas Boy. Is that warm or cold? No worries. Koach. Thank you. All right. So it says in the Pasuk, in Pasuk Ches, V'ochlos, page 350, V'ochlos, Abosar, Balayla, Hazeh, Suliyesh, eat the Korban Pesach roasted. Umatzois al merurim yechlu. You have to eat it, and as a supplement, complementary to the Korban Pesach, you have to eat it with matzah and morer. We know that. Okay, good. Which, based on this pasuk, the Chazal teach us that it would seem that only the Gemara tells us in Mesichta Pesachim, and that is the halacha. I mean, in other words, discussed in the poskim, that because the Torah connects and links the eating of the matzah and the morer with the Korban Pesach. So therefore, Gemara claims that therefore nowadays, what's the problem?
Noise.
Is he serving you? Yeah? Shh. They're zogen schweigen. They're young boys. They'll keep quiet. Sitch can alter
ears.
Yeah,
come here.
It's recorded, huh? Good. Who cares? Right, let's move. Yeah? So therefore, it should be midrabbanon to eat matzah. Nowadays, is no Korban Pesach, right? So maybe matzah is the rabbanon, and morer should possibly be the rabbanon. Therefore, the Gemara goes on and tells us that there's a pasuk later on in the parasha where it says on page 354, it says in the pasuk Borishon Barbo Oser Yom LaChodesh Bo Erev Techlu Matzos. So there's a special pasuk which does not link the achilas matzah with the Korban Pesach. So that tells us that even when we have no Korban Pesach, there is a biblical obligation, a scriptural right to eat matzahs nowadays. The halacha is that the mitzvah achilas matzah is midoraisa nowadays, and mitzvah achilas morer is the rabbonon. I don't want to say merely the rabbonon, because the rabbonon is just as important as the oraisa. But there are differences in halacha. I mean, in practical application, if it's the oraisa, the rabbonon, whatever the case is. But we have just general knowledge. Okay, ended. Let's go on. Why do I raise this, that it's the horizon? The Rabban, of course, possibly in the conversation as we go on, in the discussion, it will come up. Okay, in other words, because we have a special pasuk to tell us for matzah, which doesn't link matzah with the Korban Pesach, that makes it the horizon, even there's no Korban Pesach, but there's no additional verse conveying to us that we have to eat morer. The only verse which we find is where it links it with the Korban Pesach. So therefore, where there is Korban Pesach, there's a mitzvah midoraisa to eat morer. Where there's no Korban Pesach, so there's only a mitzvah. So the Rabbonim instituted. It's merely rabbinical. The Chachamim instituted to eat morer. Okay, Zecher, for whatever reasons. Okay, let's not go into it now. We'll soon talk about it. Beseda. Now, the Gemara says in the Sichta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tez Vav Amud Beis. Omar Rava. Rava says, Bola Matzah Yotza. Bola moror lo yotza. If one swallowed the matzah, he has fulfilled his obligation. Bola moror lo yotza. If he swallows the moror, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. And the Rashbam explains, Rashi explains, meaning, Bola, he swallowed the matzah and did not chew the matzah. So he has fulfilled his obligation. He swallowed the mora, did not chew the mora. So he has not fulfilled his obligation. That's the way we have it in our texts of the Shas in Mesichta Pesachim. There are variations. There are different variations in the text. Nevertheless, this text is in our Shas. The Rashbam deals with other texts. The Halacha, in other words, the Rambam records this text, as the Rabbi Shavar brings to our attention. I mean, it's very obvious. It's a Rambam. In Hilchas Chometz U'Matzah, Perek Vav, the sixth chapter of Hilchas Chometz U'Matzah, the Rambam introduces this, records this Halacha, codifies the Halacha, Bola Morer Matzah Yotza, Bola Morer Lo Yotza. Thereafter, it's recorded also in the Tur and in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's what we follow. Just to mention, the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, when he records and codifies the Halachas, who preceded the Rambam, does not record this section of the Gemara, which seems to be a bit puzzling, because most of the time, if it is halachically binding, it's not something which relates to the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It relates to nowadays. And it's a legal obligation, it's a halacha, so generally Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi will record, he'll pluck out this section and record it in his work, which is called the Alfas or Alfasi or the Rif and the like. It's not there. I'll just mention to you what one of the commentators say for that, which only substantiates the issue we have to discuss. Good. What's the problem? What's the logic? Why bola matzo yotza? Bola moro lo yotza? Why should there be a difference between matza and moro? Now, the fact is, the Rashbam explains, when you swallow the matzah, you have fulfilled your obligation, because the Torah says, eat matzah. And that is also defined as eating. You can chew your food and swallow it. You can swallow your food without chewing it. So he says, when you swallow your food, you also fulfilled. That's also regarded, defined halachically as eating. So you have fulfilled the mitzvah of eating your matzah. Now, the Mefarshim say you fulfill your obligations, and there's a major difference between if you chew it and if you swallow it. Because if you swallow it, basically you haven't really had any taste of the matzah in your mouth. Right? You haven't tasted it, you just swallowed it. When you chew it, you taste it. Right? But you swallow it. Now, how do you swallow hard matzah? Some stamols are not very practical. But I believe in the times of the Shas, and you still have nowadays the Yemenites or whatever, right? Or Sephardim have soft matzah. So there are ways of swallowing matzah, or you can soften up the matzah. The halacha is, for instance, an elderly person, or a person who is ill and cannot chew the matzah, so you can actually have the matzah soak for him, wet the matzah, soften the matzah up for him. Okay? But only in water, and not in fruit juice or wine. Bald. That's the way it's preferable, so to speak, preferable. If there is no choice, you may even have it softened up in fruit juice, of course, Kosher Pesach, or wine, but just don't have it cooked. It's Yontif, you can cook. So you know what you're going to do. Well, as it's an Alta Yid, someone who's not well and he wants to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Matzah, you'll take a Gezayis Matzah, you shove it into the soup, and you'll cook it, or you'll shove it into water and cook it. So the facts are that cooking matzah, if you have matzah, shenis bashel, the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos Daf Lamed Ches, and also the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, if you cook matzah, it becomes invalidated for matzah, nothing doing. Guess why? So the Gemara says, you know why? Because you need tam matzah. You need the flavor of the matzah. So therefore, if you cook matzah in water, it takes out all the taste. Loses its flavor. As it is, you know, if the matzah comes from overseas, by the time it comes here, pashteist mit. But okay, but you can re-bake it, right? You warm it up and it becomes crispier. So you start, you know, epis, it still comes back home. Okay, it comes back. So epis adort, okay, whatever. Becholef weiter. So if you cook the matzah, says the Gemara, it's invalid and it invalidates the matzah because you need ta matzah, says the Gemara in Brachos of Lamed Ches. And in Lamed Ches, the Rosh Hashanah brings to our attention. No ta matzah, and that's a psak halach. The halach is recorded in Hilchos Pesach. If you cook the matzah, it invalidates the matzah. The fathers, the most they allow, is therefore they say, if you soak it in fruit juice, or in wine, right, or in soup, so because these liquids have their own flavor, so that's going to also undo the flavor of the matzah, because it has the right there, it's going to cancel out the flavor of the matzah, because it's going to introduce its own flavor. So again, there's a problem with it. The only allowance, the preferable allowance, is to soften it up just in water. Of course, we're talking in a case where gebruchs, in principle, halachically, is allowed. You're allowed to put matzah according to the halach, according to the letter of the law, there's no problem. It's merely, I don't want to be, don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling the minik, but it's a chumrah, right? It is a stringency not to have your matzah wet or dipped, etc. Okay, but according to the letter of the law, there's no question, according to the halacha, it's 100% allowed, you may dip the water in the matzah. So therefore, if you want to soften it up for an elderly person or a sick person, no problem. If there's no choice, you can do it even to fruit juice, yishgeferlach, because mainly the flavor is lost when you cook it. But what is clear from this Gemara, you need ta matzah. So the Mefarshim say, what's going on here? We just finished saying, if you swallow the matzah, there's no problem. Why? Because even if he hasn't tasted the ta matzah, it's okay. It's cold. He ate it, right? And on the other hand, we say you need ta matzah. You need the flavor of the matzah. So what's going on here? Why by morer? What's the story with the morer? Let's go to the morer now. The problem with the morer, why if you swallow the morer, you're not yotzeh? So the Rashbam explains, because what's the reason we eat the morer? The reason we eat the morer is because it's to remember that they made, the Egyptians made the lives of the Jewish people bitter, right? So that's the basis of eating the morer. Now, therefore, if you swallow the morer, you won't have that bitter flavor. So you have to chew it to the degree that you feel the bitterness, right? The sharpness of the bitterness, basically, right? The merirus. So if you swallow it, you're not yet. So that's between matzah and morer. But the question arises, what's going on here? But you see, by morer, the same applies, right? You need, the species has to be bitter, right? And here you say, you have to have the flavor of the morer, right? The taste of the morer, the feel of the morer. And when it comes to the matzah, you say, the matzah itself has to have the taste of the matzah. Nevertheless, when you taste it, you can swallow it, you don't have to taste it. So we understand the difference between swallowing matzah and swallowing morer. Why the difference there, right? But what's going on here? There is a tam matzah, nevertheless you can swallow. The matzah needs a tam, nevertheless you can swallow it. Now, just, it's quite obvious that the whole premise, seemingly, and this is also, the whole premise of eating the morer is merely as to commemorate this merirus, right? Because it's not even edible. Basically, the Mogen Avraham says that the morer is not edible. And really, he says, you shouldn't even be making a buri priha adam if someone sits down and eats a crane. If your morer is not the romaine lettuce, or endives and the like, right? But you're eating morer, that's crane. The crane is not edible. We're not talking about, the crane cannot be pickled, right? The crane cannot be soaked in vinegar. It has to be pure crane. So it can't be cooked. The same halacha is for the morer. You can't cook the morer. It invalidates the morer. So the morer is pure chrein. Pure chrein. Now you have to understand. Now some say you're not even, it's not edible, right? That's the best proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make our lives bitter. In other words, to commemorate that they had their lives were bitter. Because it's not even an edible thing. To the degree that the Magen Avraham says, you shouldn't even be making the normal broch. It's not the normal way of eating. So you should make an unusual broch. Normally, it grows from the ground. You should make a very priya adama. The most I would allow you to make a broch on this is shahak only abedvora. And then he goes on to say that you shouldn't be making a broch at all because it's not edible. And you know, one of the achronim, the well-known Chavas Das, Rabbi Yankif Elise, he claims that if, you know, you must have Geribben a chrein. You must grind your chrein. He says, if you'll take a chunk of chrein, right? Some people like to be, you know, ganza machers, but they say, you know, they'll take that chunk and, you know, and segeit agan. Listen here. The fact is, on the Munkacher's Kaira, the Munkacher, the Milchus Alazar, he had pieces, actually. I don't know if he chewed the pieces, but on his Kaira he had a piece. I understand by the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Kaira, he also had the ground morer, and also he had a piece. I think he also ate the piece. I'm unsure. You have to find out on it. Check out. I was never there. But whatever the case is, the Chavos Da'at claims if you eat the pieces of the morer, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. There's no way, because it's just not edible. It must be ground. You must grind it up. Otherwise, it's impossible that you should be able to fulfill your mitzvah of achilas morer. And you say, I shake the shan b'mitzvah of achilas morer. That's achila. Forget it. Now, others say, Moshe Kapoyer. Others say, true, you may have to grind it, but you should definitely not grind it erev yomtiv. You should definitely grind it on yomtiv, the night of yomtiv. And that's the sheet of the Vilna Gaon, if I recall correctly. He says, because it will become oisgevept,
it's going to... It'll lose its sharpness.
It's sharpness. And therefore, do it as close as possible to the Seder. The fact is, according to the Halacha, according to the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, he passes, it's prohibited to grind morer on yomtiv. Therefore, you must do it before Yom Tov. I'm letting you know now. So if you're stuck and you don't have gerib and achrein, you should go borrow it by your neighbor. You shouldn't grind it. You shouldn't whatever. But whatever the case, I'm just bringing out to you that you see the extreme opinions in this, because it's really not edible. Basically, the premise of eating moru is why moru is chayeyim. Yeah, it's a bitter. It was bitter for them, and it's even bitter for us. Okay, so it's no fun. Good. Let's go to the matzah now. Ta'am matzah. Now, Rabbeinu Monoyach, who is one of the commentaries on the Rambam in Hilchas Chometz Matzah, one of the Rishonim, the classics, and also in the Sefer Maaseh Rokeach HaSfardi, one of the commentaries on the Rambam, also in the later generations. And I noticed that this the logic is also found in a commentary called published in the Rambams, in the Vilna Rambams, Barsha Rambams, Binyan Shloime, that's from Rab Shloime Kluger, from Brody, whatever, Meforet Weiter. So basically they claim, how do we reconcile that on the one hand, we say the matzah has to have its own innate flavor, right? Intrinsic flavor, has to actually have a ta'am matzah, therefore cooked matzah you can't fulfill the mitzvah with, right? Nevertheless, we say when you swallow the matzah, you fulfill the mitzvah even though you didn't taste it. So they bring to our attention a concept of the shas found in Mesichta Menachos and also related to other halachas throughout the shas. That's the rule of, right? The air condition's off and there's not a window open. Let me tell you, I'll open the window. It's unbelievable. The Lord being gave us a fresh air and smoothish. Is it? The cup out of me. Excuse me, I'm sorry for that. Shkoda. It's late. Gotta move. Okay, the Gemara says in the Sechta Menachos, Kol haro'oi lebila, ein bila me'akeves. That is, a certain we learned in this parasha about the menachos, the mincha, right? The mincha has to have a certain amount of flour with a certain amount of oil. Now the rule is, if there is that amount of oil with that amount of flour, if you'll mix them evenly and equally, they'll mix, and then that's a correct mix, and that's the right recipe. Right? These are the ingredients. There's a certain measure for the flour. There's a certain measure for the oil. Ended. That's bila. Bila means the mixing. Now the rule is, if it's raw oil of bila, in other words, if we have that set amount of flour and that set amount of oil, even if we don't actually mix it together, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. The mincha is valid. The mincha is valid even if it's not actually mixed. Because it is a raw oil of bila. It is suitable that if you end up mixing them, it'll mix well, right? So there's a concept of royal bila. So then, ein bila ma'akevis, the actual mixing is not essential. We have to mix it. Terry says that's the way you establish a mincha. But what happens if the fellow didn't mix the flour or the oil? So the halacha is, if he would mix it, it would mix up. It would mix well, it would become the final mincha. So the halacha is, even if he hasn't mixed it, it's not essential. In other words, it's not. It doesn't invalidate it because it's suitable to be mixed. Now, this principle is applied and is extended to many other halachas of the Shas. Basically, they're applying it here too. They're saying, look, the fact is that this matzah contains, has flavor, right? he's swallowing it. So if he wouldn't swallow it, it is ro'u libilo. It is ro'u. It is suitable to have the taste, right? Because the matzah has its taste. It wasn't cooked matzah. It's a baked matzah. The matzah has a taste, has a flavor. He just happened to decide to swallow it. But when he eats it, it is ro'u. The matzah is ro'u libilo. The fact is, if he would have chewed it, he would have had it. So if you take matzah which was cooked, even if you chew it, it's not ro'u libilo. In other words, it's lacking the flavor of the matzah. It doesn't have it at all. But something which has the flavor, you just didn't utilize the opportunity of appreciating the flavor. But if the fact is that if you would have, you could have, it's good enough. That's the concept of ro'u libilo. So basically, that's the way they reconcile it. According to this approach, it seems that it would be preferable, and really, in principle, he needs the flavor of the matzah too. Just like we say, the matzah needs the flavor, he also should be tasting the matzah. So we say, even if he doesn't actually taste it, it's kosher, it's good enough. Why is it good enough? Because if he wanted, he could have tasted it. So these are the rules, so to speak. Let it be. There is another approach, and that is the approach of the levush, which with this he explains also, we understand the Mora too. He says, look, true, the matzah needs the tam matzah, right? But the fact is, if it's lacking, it's not matzah. Nevertheless, if he doesn't swallow it, if he doesn't chew it, and he doesn't have the flavor in his mouth, it's okay. The reason is, basically, this is what the Levush says, the Mogen Avraham, the Taz, and the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, and the Rav Shulchan Aruch. In other words, basically, they approach it that way, and the Rogat Shavu really just makes a point of it. He says there's a difference. If we discuss, there's a gavra and a chefza. The individual needs the object, the matter. The matzah is with what one fulfills the mitzvah, right? You have the matzah, but eating the matzah, right? You fulfill the mitzvah. So the matzah is the chefza of the mitzvah, the object of the mitzvah, right? But you haven't yet fulfilled it. How do you fulfill it? By chewing it and eating it, and swallowing it. So they make it clear and they say, what's the problem? The din is that in order for something to attain the status of matzah, it has to have the flavor of the matzah. In other words, if it doesn't have ta matzah, it's not regarded as lechem, as bread. It's not regarded as matzah. It's like any foreign object. Matzah, lechem, has a flavor, has a taste. When you mix flour and water, right, it has a ta matzah. If you do something to it and ruin it, right, you undo that, that means you basically undoing, it doesn't have a status of lechem anymore. It has no status of matzah anymore. So there's no chefza of matzah. You're not eating matzah. That's why when we say matzah needs the ta matzah, if you cook matzah, you're not yoitza, is because if there's no ta matzah, it's not matzah. Now once you already established that you have matzah, where does it say that you have to have the flavor and the taste in your mouth? They're two separate things. The flavor and the taste in your mouth is for you to fulfill the mitzvah. And that's what we're saying. In order to have matzah, the matzah has to contain a flavor, because a tam. If the matzah has no tam, it's not matzah. So you need matzah. You cannot yoitza mitzvah matzah with wine. You yoitza mitzvah matzah with bread. What is bread? Flour and water has a tam. If you undo the tam, you're basically minimizing, subtracting from what it's meant to stand for. What it is, matzah, lechem, it's not. You removed something. You reduced it. You subtracted it. It's not there. But it doesn't say anybody has to have the tam in your mouth. And that's the difference. For you to fulfill the mitzvah, once it has, you have matzah, you're eating the matzah, now you have a choice of either chewing it or swallowing it. So when you swallow it, swallowing is also defined and regarded as eating. Has a definition of eating. Now why is swallowing also a definition of eating? Here we have the two approaches. One approach of the levush and one approach which is based, basically, I found, is based on the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, and the approach of the Rav Shulchan Aruch, which seems to be based on the Rashbam in his commentary in Masechta Pesachim, and also quite seemingly quite obvious in the Magid Mishnah in his commentary on the Rambam. I'll first mention what the Levush says. In general, when it's the Torah we find, let me just bring to your attention, a Gemara in Masechta Chulin. It's getting late. The Gemara says in Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Gimel. Says the Gemara. The Gemara introduces an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Torah says, don't consume blood. Don't consume non-kosher fat. Don't consume non-kosher food, right? The question is, when Torah says, don't consume those foods, right? Don't eat those things. What is the Torah's intent? Is the Torah's intent, when does one transgress? Let's put it that way. You eat it, right? 1 minute. You take some non-kosher food and you're eating it. When have you transgressed? When are, at one point, what point are you liable?
When you swallow.
Hey. When you're eating and you're swallowing, your Torah says don't eat it. What does eating mean? You're not throwing something in the garbage. You're not throwing something in an empty barrel. Mm. The human being's eating it, right? When Torah says don't eat it, it means don't eat it and appreciate it, right? You're eating it and appreciating it. Every food, that's where you choose your menu, right? This you like, this you don't like. Yeah, you're petty, you're this, you don't want this, you want that, right? Good. So you're eating, so that when the Torah says don't eat, basically the Torah says don't eat these foods, because when you eat these foods or whatever, right? So Torah, when it prohibits, is the Torah's intent hanoas goroim, the appreciation of the food, the satisfaction of the food when it hits the palate, or when it fills your stomach? What's so funny? Fellow's hungry, he's eating. So he eats, it fills his stomach, he gets satisfied, right? Then also when you eat or drink, there's an appreciation of the palate. You go, it's a good, it's a geschmack. What do you feel the taste? It fills your stomach, that's not to do. Well, that's the question. The question is, when the Torah says don't eat, right? Basically, the Torah is saying don't appreciate it. Where is the appreciation? What is the intent of the Torah? Don't appreciate it, don't fill your tummy to satisfy you. Or Torah says, don't appreciate it, meaning if it just hits the palate, or you already transgress, you're already liable. And the Gemara says clearly the nafkemina will be, there's a practical difference. If unfortunately, it's not very geschmack to speak, thank God we're not eating now. If the fellow eats and pukes, he vomits. It doesn't satisfy him, it doesn't settle in his stomach, but it went through the palate. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hanoas goroin bo inon. Torah's intent is, Torah says you're liable, you transgress when you ate the chalev, even afterwards you vomit immediately, you vomited. Nevertheless, there was a hanoas goroin, when you swallowed it, you appreciated it, the chalev. Even though it doesn't remain in your system, you vomited immediately. Reish Lakish says nothing doing, right? If you had no hanoas meyav, you didn't feel satisfied with it, and that is to fill you with it, so then, and if you vomited it thereafter, you're not chalev, you're not liable. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. That when it comes to liability for transgressions, for loisaseh, for negative commandments, it's hanoas goroin bo'inon. Right? In other words, it all depends what's going on in the palate. In other words, if it just reaches the palate, right, and you appreciate it, even though unfortunately you vomited thereafter, you transgressed. What happens by mitzvahs? When does one fulfill a mitzvah? Mitzvahs which are based on food consumption, right? Mitzvahs achilas matzah, mitzvahs achilas moror, mitzvahs achilas korban pesach, mitzvahs kiddush, mitzvahs achilas Shabbos, etc., etc., etc. Okay, when? So the fact is, there is a chassam sofer, a response of the chassam sofer in Erachaim Simukuf Chav Zayin, which seemingly he's the one who introduces this issue. But the facts are that it's already found in earlier commentators, and that is, for instance, the Alter Rebbe, the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and even before, prior to him, and that is seemingly quite obvious in these classical Meforshim Rishonim, before these Achronim. But they didn't make much of an issue of it, they just say it. And basically the Alter Rebbe and the Levush, the Rav Shulchan Aruch and the Levush explain why if one swallows matzah, he's yoitze. So the Levush has a lengthy exposition and he elaborates, you know why? Because Torah says, eat matzah. He says, if he ate, Torah says you should eat. And Torah says that you should eat it to remember the redemption, etc., etc. Just like Torah says you should eat the maror to remember the bitterness, right? But the fact is, if Torah says eat, to remember the redemption, but Torah says eat. So if you swallowed it, and you're hungry, it satisfied you. So what's the difference, even though you didn't chew it, and you didn't appreciate it in your palate, right? When do you appreciate it in your mouth? When you chew it, and you get the taste out of it, and the flavor, right? and it's geschmack, so you'll chew it, you'll chew it up, and then you swallow it, you get it, it goes down the system. But if you swallow it and you don't chew it, you don't appreciate it, right? So there was no Hanoah's Goroin, possibly. But even if there was, he says, really, when do you fulfill the mitzvah? When it fills your stomach, you're satisfied. He says, but by Moror, that's the difference between Matzah and the Moror. By Moror, Torah says, you should eat it to remember the bitterness. That's the premise of the food, not just to eat it. Now, if you're going to swallow it, it's not going to be bitter, even though it'll fill your stomach. But that wasn't the intent of the Torah. By Matzah, the Torah's intent was to eat it. So you ate it even if you swallowed it, as long as you're satisfied, after you eat it, good enough. But by Moror, the Torah says, it should be Zechele by Moror's Chayayim. Remember the bitterness. If you swallow it, it may fill your stomach, but that's not good enough. You have to feel the bitterness in your mouth. So if you don't chew it, you're not going to feel the bitterness in your mouth.
But there's a difference.
What?
The Moror, when you chew it, you don't eat it to satisfy. You just eat it to taste.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he says. He says Moror is not meant to fill your stomach. Moror is meant to feel the bitterness, so you must chew it.
Can you spit it?
No, no, because then it's not even the category of eating. It's not even the category. It says, after all, you got to eat it. But what counts is what's going on in the mouth. Now, the Alter Rebbe says as follows. The Alter Rebbe explains, the Rav Shulchan Aruch explains just that without talking about filling your stomach. He says, the reason why if you swallow matzah yoytzeh is because you had a nos goreng. Even if you don't chew it, the palate feels it. It goes down the throat. So there, it just touches the palate. It has already the flavor. You don't have to have it really gedicht heavy, chewing it. Even if you don't chew it, when you swallow it, there's hanoah's gordon. It just has to touch it. That's good enough. That's called eating. It doesn't talk about the stomach. Except by moror, it depends on actually feeling the bitterness. And therefore you must chew it, otherwise you're not going to have it. So okay, end it. Everything seems to fit and everything seems to match. Hey, listen to what the Rogatch of Argon says, and it's late. The Rogatchev Goin says, you know, matzah is just like maror. He doesn't understand. There's no difference. He just looks at it and he says, look, I know the halacha is that matzah has to have a tam matzah. That's why if you cook matzah, you're not yotze, right? The matzah is not matzah. Same goes with maror, right? There are species of maror. And if you cook the maror, no good. It invalidates the maror. So matzah seems to be identical to the maror, right? Matzah has to contain a tam, have its own tam. Maror has to contain its own unique tam. Finished. So in that respect, matzah and maror are identical. So why, therefore, he asks, why, if you swallow the matzah, you yotze, and if you swallow the maror, you're not yotze. In other words, we're going on. He doesn't accept or appreciate the analysis we gave till now. Okay? Possibly, because he understands that, possibly, the Torah says you got to eat maror. Al matzah marorim yechlu, right? Where does it say that it's zecher levayim maror eschayeim? We know it is. All the previous commentators said so, right? But does it say it in the Bible, in Chumash? It doesn't say. It's only logical. It's rational, right? But if you take out a Chumash, the Torah says, eat korb pesach al matzah marorim. It doesn't say why. So who are you to come and say that the Torah says you eat maror only because you have to commemorate the feel, the bitterness, and therefore, if you don't chew it, you're not yotze. Whoever said so? You get it? So according to him, biblically, talking min haTorah, according to the scripture, according to Chumash, Torah says eat matzah. Therefore, and Torah says eat maror. Doesn't say reasons. We don't give reasons to what Torah says. If the Torah didn't give the reason, there's no reasons. Reasons are found thereafter, they're just additional things. Right? But that's not the rationale of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have to find the rationale to what he says. We do the mitzvah because of the mitzvah.
There's no reason in Chazal.
Maybe the Chazal give reasons. But again, excuse me. But in Chumash you don't find reasons. The fact is, there is a reason in Chazal. We just finished saying. We mentioned. It's Zechel Avayim Maror Eschayeim. We know very well. Maror, Rabbi Gamliel says, the maror we eat is because Avayim Maror Eschayeim. Wonderful. Again, that's the reason. But that's an additional thing. But there's, you get it? Basically, that's we're discussing if one has fulfilled his mitzvah or not. So what's going on here? It seems that when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, you fulfill the mitzvah if you swallow it. It comes to the mitzvah of maror, you don't fulfill it. Why? Because you're lacking in the vayimaror eschayim. Is the vayimaror eschayim, where does it say that it's an intrinsic and essential part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah? It only says that that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do so. We find many mitzvahs that different Meforshei mitzvahs, Rishonim, etc., or even in the Chazal, they give reasons to Torah. But why should it say that that's essential to fulfillment of the mitzvah of Torah, let's say, for instance? So in his eyes, you approach matzah and you approach morah, and you seem to find that all the rules follow. In other words, matzah has to have tam, morah has to have tam. If you cook the matzah, it's no good. If you cook the morah, it's no good. So why here do we have a difference? Bola matzah yotza, bola morah lo yotza. Listen to what he wants to say. Listen to what degree he takes it. You know what he says? He says, you know what? Bizman shabeis amigdash hoyakayim, the halacha was bola morah yotza. Like matzah. How do you like that? You get it? He says, you know, it says in the Torah, when the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Beis HaMikdash. You ate Korban Pesach, you have to eat matzah and morah. What does it say? It says in the Torah, al matzah is a merurim yechlu. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us when you eat the Korban Pesach, you have to eat matzah and morah? I don't know why. Yechumah just says eat matzah and morah. So b'meila, if the halacha is bola matzah yotza, because it says yechlu, you have to eat the Korban Pesach, you have to eat the matzah, you have to eat the morah. So I'm eating matzah. If the definition of eating is noas goroin, or hanoas meyav, however I'll define it. But if I swallow it, if swallowed is defined as is good enough as achila, so it's good by matzah, it should be good by morah. So he says, this manja base, it's a mamish, a phenomenal chiddush. No one says it, he says it. He allows himself to say it. He says, this vayimorah, zechel vayimorah, chayim is only an additional thing, so to speak, added on, stuck on. But min ha-Torah yir-yotza, therefore, b'zman shabbos ha-midrash ha-yekayim, when they eat the Korban Pesach, and that's where we're eating the matzah, we're also eating the morah. For the same reason we eat the matzah, it has the same criteria, it has the same context, the same parameters. Bola matzah yotza, bola morah yotza. When the Chazal says the Rogachover going, bola morah lo yotza, that only goes l'zman hazeh, where there's no Korban Pesach. And it's only rabbinical, and it's not scriptural. So therefore, midoy raisa bola matzah yotza. Midoy raisa, it should be bola morah yotza too. But we're eating morah today, why? Because the Chachomim came around and said that you have to eat morah zeichel levayim morah eschayim. In other words, the whole premise of the mitzvah is to commemorate the bitterness. What did the Chazal after all say? According to the Torah, morah becomes, how do you say it? Bottle. There's no more mitzvah smorer anymore nowadays, scripturally. There's no Korban Pesach, there's no mitzvah smorer. Why don't the Chachamim come and say, no, they reinstituted the mitzvah? Why? So they reinstituted with different guidelines. What guidelines? Because they said, Vibaldu was vayimoru eschayim in Egypt, therefore they established the mitzvah of eating morah nowadays, zecha vayimoru eschayim. So the whole premise of the eating of the morah is zecha is vayimoru eschayim, is bitterness. The Mele, he says as follows. He says, so minatir yir yotza midrabbonon, if you swallow the morer you're not yotza, why? Because he's lacking, there's no he's lacking in the flavor, right? He's lacking in the flavor, it's missing. So what about it? What's wrong? So listen to what he says. The analysis, the pshat of what he's saying goes as follows. If the fellow is not going to feel the bitterness in his mouth, in other words, let's put it this way. Matzah, Torah says eat matzah. So matzah is something. There's an object, okay? Right? And after you have that object, by eating it, you fulfill the mitzvah by chewing it, eating it, or swallowing it. Okay? Morer, they say eat the morer. Zechela vayimoru eschayein. So the whole definition of the mitzvah is vayimoru eschayeh. There's no mitzvah without the vayimoru eschayeh. So if there lacks, if you don't have the bitterness in your mouth, you're not eating morah. Because the whole basis of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Rabbanon is vayimoru. In other words, when we come to the mitzvah, if morah is min ha-Torah, so just by consuming the morah, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. If you're lacking the bitterness, that may be an additional thing you're lacking. But after all, you consumed it. But if when the Chachamim say eat the morah, the whole basis of eating it is to feel the bitterness. So if you're not feeling the bitterness, there's no mitzvah whatsoever, there's no fulfillment of the mitzvah. You get it? So when we're dealing in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, when there's a mitzvah of eating matzah, per se. And there's a mitzvah of eating moror, per se. Right? So there we say, bola matzah yotza, bola moror yotza. Even though he was lacking in the taste, he was lacking in the feeling, he didn't have no bitterness, it makes no difference. We're going to the mitzvah. Because you ate it. But when it comes to the derabona nowadays, they didn't just say, eat it, and as an addition, feel the bitterness. The whole basis of the eating is the bitterness. So it's posher that if there's no bitterness, you didn't eat it. You get it? It's just very simple. Because that's the whole premise of the eating. You can't segregate the eating from the bitterness. When you're dealing with scriptural halachas, which halachas b'doraisa, so then there is the eating per se and the additional reasoning. So you can say if he's lacking the additions, the supplementary things, he at least fulfilled the initial thing. But when we're talking about a mitzvah, the rabbana, which the whole premise is the reason, so when there's no reason, there's no mitzvah. In other words, the basis of the mitzvah is its reason. That's why bola moror lo yotza. Simple. Okay? Then he has another approach. Okay, we have 5 minutes. Listen to this very phenomenal approach. A gewaltig, interessante Sache. We once said it, maybe you guys remember it. He says, you know, you find certain mitzvahs where there are preliminary, preparatory things. He says, for instance, he gives you examples of certain mitzvahs. One betroths a woman with money. Yeah? Ha'isha niknis b'kesef. You give her money, she becomes your woman, right? Isha miskadeshes, right? You can acquire her with money. What happens? Before you gave her the money, it was money. When you give her now the money, it becomes kesef kiddushi. Money of betrothal, right? What happens? Was the money was just plain money before the kiddushin came about. So basically the kiddushin and the kesef kiddushin come together. When you betroth her, this money becomes kesef kiddushin. Pidyon haben. Yeah, 5 silver coins, the kohen, yeah? 5 silver coins. The 5 silver coins before you give to the kohen is like any other 5 silver coins, yeah? Shkolim. 5 shkolim, whatever it is. Yeah, 5 silver coins. When does the 5 silver coins become kesef pidyon, right? That with this we redeem the child. When I'm performing, fulfilling the mitzvah, when I betroth the woman, this becomes kesef kedushin. When I am paid to the son, it becomes kesef pidyon. Correct? Parshut. But then sometimes there is some preliminary things, think preparatory, these things which, so to speak, there is a shame, there's the concept, there's already some initial, we already started the procedure. For instance, you can be mekadosh, betroth a woman with a shtar, with a contract. Right? Bishtar. That's another star, another way. We write on the star, all right, etc. It has all these guidelines. So here you have the star, it's prepared. The mitzvah is to give it to her in her hand to say, or sometimes, according to certain opinions, you don't even have to say it, just give it to her. So everything is written up in the star. So the star is different than the Kesef Kedushin. Kesef Kedushin, the money, happens when I betroth her, right? So then I give her the Kesef, and the Kedushin, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, and the object with what I fulfill the mitzvah comes together. No preparation in the object of the mitzvah. But by the Shtar Kedushin, when I'm dealing with the contract, right, with the marriage contract, the betrothal contract, so that's prepared before. That's all done. Now I have to do the final thing, give it to her, the act of it. So here, it's different than the Kesef Kedushin. The same goes with a divorce, right? I have to write up the get before I actually divorce her. How does she actually become divorced? I give her the get in her hand. Or in a chutz or whatever, but I have to give it to her, right? That's the actual, then she becomes divorced. But I don't give her an empty paper. I prepare the get. It's all written up before the contract, the document. Okay? So basically, he's bringing to our attention that there are certain things in mitzvahs, right? Where there's preparatory things, right? There's already, in his terminology, there's shame, chalois. There's already a concept in a sense of the mitzvah already, so to speak, in our realm, but it hasn't yet been activated. By giving it, we activate it. Okay? He says, look, there's a major difference between matzah and moruv. Matzah, you know what the halacha is? Matzah is not just flour and water. Big time preparation for the matzah. In order for the matzah to be matzah, you have to have the shmiro, you have to protect it, that it should be, keep it away from the chometz. And as the Gemara says, he brings the Gemara's right, and you have to refrain it from the time of the kneading, or the baking, or the preparing for the baking, etc., etc. And then we have different menhagim, etc. This is already additional menhag, but it's written in the poskim that we even have it from the time of the grinding of the flour, of the wheat, right? And some even have it from the time of the reaping, the what's it called? You have to, the cutting of the flour, the tzira. So there's a shmira, etc. There's a halachas of shmira. Shmartim is a matzah. The Torah itself says, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to eat the matzah. Nevertheless, we see that we don't just all of a sudden hocus pocus, we have a piece of matzah, right? To get that matzah, there are many halachas which this has to go through. Basically, the shem matzah, the terminology of matzah, the definition of matzah, the matzah is regarded as matzah halachically is not just when I eat it. It's matzah. In essence, it's matzah. Because I did all these preparatory things for it to be matzah. Right? I put in this, and the halacha is to watch it and protect it from chametz. You have to have an adult, and it can't be a goy and a non-Jew, etc. So many different halachas. Mm-hmm. By morer, the morer is, you have these five species of morer, right? Like the Mishnah enumerates the different species of the morer, right? What preparations do we have for the morer when we have to consume the morer, the mitzvah of morer? What do you do? Not gunished. What do you do? Is a special halacha to prepare the morer? Not. You wash it, you can get it ready, and that's all. You have it. It's like any other poshet of vegetable. You go to Tesseriro's or wherever, and you pick up a shtickle mor and you eat the mitzvah. By matzah, you can't just go to Snyder's matzah factory and pick it off the shelf, right? Look what goes through. The matzah has to go through. So the Rukachover going says, listen, you know, the true definition of eating is chewing, right, and swallowing. That's called eating. If you just swallow, you don't chew, euch megegessen. So he says, you know what? By matzah, because the matzah, we don't, what do we have to establish in the matzah? Nothing. The matzah is already established as matzah, right? The shem matzah, the concept of matzah, the idea of the matzah, the definition of matzah, the picture of the matzah, the form of the matzah, whatever matzah we have to invest in, the matzah has been long invested in, right? What we have to do is only to eat it. Our eating doesn't have to establish anything new. We just have to consume it. Because the matzah is there already. The mitzvah is there already. That concept, in the idea of the matzah is all there. It's been already invested. So he says, I don't have to major really chew it up and whatever. Good enough if you swallow it. Schlingetine, it's finished. Because the matzah is there. And the mitzvah is to eat matzah. So my eating could be a minor act. And that's good enough to have the mitzvah of achilas matzah be fulfilled. I'm finishing. I'm going. But when it comes to the morer, he says, I'm eating morer, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of morer. I'm not just eating the part of the vegetable, I'm eating morer. Morer is the heft of the mitzvah. It's a heft, right? It's an object. It's something with what I fulfill the mitzvah of achilas morer. The mitzvah is to consume and eat the morer. But it's not good enough I would just swallow the morer. Because that morer was just a plain vegetable. I have to now fulfill a mitzvah to eat the morer. And with that I say, al achilas morer. In order to have that, this morer should be in tune with my act of consuming, my consumption has to be in a full-fledged way. I can't just swallow it by the way. Because really nothing was invested in that vegetable, right? For me to make it regarded as an achilas mitzvah of morer, I have to chew it. Otherwise, it's just a plain vegetable. So that's why the halacha is bola matzah yo yotzeh, because even if something easy going, that's just by the way is good enough. But bola morer lo yotzeh, good night. Yeah.